Well, it's time to get started with morning worship. Who's ready to worship the Lord? Amen. Come on, y'all can get louder than that. I mean, come on. He woke you up today for a purpose, right? Amen. To sing His praises, right? Purpose. You have purpose this morning. This morning, before we get started with some things, we want to go ahead and prepare for this morning's offering, if the ushers would come and get the offering. But as they're getting the offering, I want to go over some business that's going on in the church. August the 27th, Sean is going to be going to Gary Wilson's church on a Wednesday, and the choir is going with him. If you could, please attend, show your support. On Wednesdays, Ted's going to be starting a new series on power, empowerment, and come out and do those things with us and be equipped in that stuff, and know that who you are. We can always learn. We can always go deeper in the Word and be eager to want to be the bride of Christ who He's called us to be. And there's something else, Ted. What was this? Something else? Yeah, revival is coming in September. So keep that in the back of your mind and ready. Getting your hearts ready for that. Y'all can go ahead. As they're receiving this the offering, I'm going to go ahead and bless the offering if you don't care. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, Father, for another day of life, Lord. We ask that You just bless this offering, Lord, the giving, that we give it with praise and glory and honor to You, Lord, that this money is received to bless You and to bless Your kingdom, Lord, that we use it to bless Your kingdom, to empower people, to let people see You in us and in this church. We thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, before we, Sean gets started, or before we get the youth up here, Renee has a testimony she's going to give. Come on up, Renee. It'll just be a few minutes. She wants to, and you need to listen. Listen to this. Yeah, you need the microphone so they can hear you.
Okay, most of you know that I had cancer 2 years ago, and I was healed, and I got it back. Well, I'm healed again. So.
She's had cancer not once, but twice. Twice. God healed her. That's worth praise. That's worth praise. I don't care who it is. I don't care where they've been. That is worth praise. Because she submitted her life to Him. And that is a representation of a life laid down for Jesus Christ. We all need to lay our lives down to Him. Focused on Him. Not worried about what's going on outside. Not worried about the chicken and dumplings that you want to go eat, as Ted was talking about in Bible school this morning. But focused on the things of God. You have opportunity this morning. As the kids come and do their thing, and they always set the thermostat in the room. They always set it. And when they get up here and pour their hearts out, guess what? The Spirit is here. And whether you receive it or not, that's on you. So set your mind on things above, as Galatians says. Set your mind on things above. We'll give Him praise.
Jesus, You deserve praise. May say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Good worship this morning. We appreciate them leading us into the presence of the Lord. And let me say before we get too much into the service this morning about Vacation Bible School that came and went. I think we had somewhere around 140 or so about every night. And it always amazes me how well it always goes off. We set up, tear down, and how quickly it happens and all that good stuff sort of reminds me of when we have dinners and the guys set up and the women do their thing, and we all sort of pitch in and get it done. And there's just something about everybody working together for a goal there and for a common purpose. And I told Kelly on the way home that night, I said, you know, VBS is just good for camaraderie for the church, if nothing else. And I believe it has a lot more benefits than that. But camaraderie for the church and sort of working together. And we appreciate Liz and everybody that pitched in and pulled that off. And give them and yourself a hand clap of appreciation for that. Amen. I love seeing that because it's everybody pitching in and doing whatever needs to be done and setting up and taking down and all that good stuff. And we appreciate that so much. And we're going to continue our sermon series this morning, and we're going to take a break next week from this. Brother Pat's going to come and minister. And again, we try to use those Sundays as an evangelistic outreach type of Sunday. And if you know a lost loved one or a friend that you want to invite, we sort of gear it toward that so that we can preach to the lost and evangelize to them. And so if you've got somebody that you know that needs the Lord, and I'm sure we all do, make sure you invite them next Sunday and be praying about that service as well. And then the following Sunday, Dr. Kathleen Runyon, who is the missionary to Israel there that we support, she will be here, and it's always one of my favorite services every year when she comes. Not only is she an outstanding speaker, in my opinion, and some of the testimonies that she gives, but it's just an honor and a privilege, really, to be connected to that ministry that's done so much over there. And I was thinking of that as they was taking up the offering between that and down here at Logan and even over at the Boys Ranch. We were talking a little bit about that over Vacation Bible School, about the New River camp over there that the Church of God in West Virginia has. When you give here, it just does so much all over, not only all over the state, but all over the world. And so if you've never heard Dr. Kathleen Runyon speak and know what she does, you don't want to miss that. It's, as I said, one of my favorite services every year. So that'll be not this coming Sunday, Pat will be preaching, but the following Sunday. And then we may, when I get back in the pulpit, we may even continue this Red Rover line. I'm sort of liking this. We might be Red Rovering for a while here, to be honest with you, because it opens up so many doors and so many avenues of things to talk about. And so we're going to continue that sermon series this morning, Red Rover, Red Rover. And again, we'll sort of set it up if you missed, haven't been able to be here or whatever. We're talking about that children's game where you have two lines on one line on one side, one line on the other, and you dare the other one to try to break through. And we liken that to our spiritual walk, and a lot of times how we're standing here and the enemy has things in front of us sort of bullying us, if you will, much like the giant was doing to the nation of Israel before David got there. And he's almost calling out, Red Rover, Red Rover, I dare you, come over. And we've been talking about those things that maybe we need to break through to get to where the Lord is. And we talked about getting out of your comfort zone. And the last week we talked about worry and fear and how those work together and how they're different, and certainly how much we need to sort of try to break through those to get where God wants us to get. And we're going to talk about one this morning, and I've sort of been holding off on this one, I guess, thinking this may be the last time I talk about Red Rover, Red Rover, even though it may not be now. But this one is probably, as far as I can tell, maybe the biggest, the toughest. You know, when you're playing Red Rover, you know, there's always a couple people that got together and linked arms, and you looked at them and you thought, I'm going to try to go through anywhere except there, because they just seemed like they were the toughest and the worst to get through. And it seems as though maybe this, to me, might be the biggest challenge, if you've got this issue in your Red Rover line, that we could face. Because this one's a big one, because when we say breaking through, getting to where God wants you to get, we've been talking about, and it's been interpreted as it should, that we're talking about somewhere that God wants us to walk with Him in this life. But the thing that I'm going to talk to you about this morning is, in this Red Rover game, if you don't get through this one, if this one's out there taunting you, and you don't get through this one, according to the Scripture, you may not make it to heaven. And so we're going to talk to you this morning about unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is a big one. It's a big giant that stands out there and sort of calls out to us and challenges us a lot of times. And it's super important for you and I, number one, because unforgiveness really hurts you. It's like a cancer that eats you up. And so many times, you know, and I've said this because I've preached on unforgiveness through the years several times, because I believe it's super uncomfortable subject, but it's very important. I feel like a lot of times people hold grudges against things that really are not there. The enemy will throw a lot of things out at you and make you believe something, or go down a road in your mind and you don't even realize maybe the other person doesn't even have that thought or whatever, but it's truly like a smoke and mirrors, if you will, a lot of times. And people will hold on to those grudges, and you've heard me probably say this before, that, you know, I think it's sad a lot of times that there's people that are alive now who probably have grudges against people who died 25 years ago. And they just can't let go of it. It's just in the human nature. It's why we got the Hadfield-McCoy feud, right? It's why we had the feud on Andy Griffith. I forget the two family names. Wakefield and Carter. Andy asked him, why are you fighting against him? And because he's a Wakefield. And said, why are you fighting against him? Because he's a Carter. As all they knew was, because of their last name, they kept a feud going. And so many times we sort of find ourselves in that position, I think, is that we get this unforgiveness and this bitterness, if you will, and that hurts us more, a whole lot more, than it does even the person that you're bitter against. Before we stand for the reading of the Scripture, well, let's go ahead and do that. Go ahead and stand for the reading of the Scripture here as we get set up for this. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says very directly, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your father will not forgive your sins." You can be seated if you wish. And there's very few claims that I would make out of the Scripture that is cut and dried, and especially when you talk about a matter that means heaven or hell, and eternal loss, being eternally lost or eternally saved. But the fact of the matter is, this is one of those kind times that you can't dodge, but that you totally understand that. I tell you what, let's stop right now. Not to alarm Leanne or anything, but I think Johnny is having another, his sugar may be dropping again. They are taking care of him back there. So while they're doing that, let's all stand and have a word of prayer for Johnny here. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and praise you for this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Brother Johnny. And we just ask, God, that you would touch his body right now, God, that you would, whatever it is that's ailing him, Lord, that you would touch him and minister to him and heal his body, as we know that you can, Father, by your stripes we are healed. And Father, we just ask, God, that you would touch and minister to him and touch his body, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So, as they look after Johnny there just for a moment, is he okay? Okay, need some candy. All right. Praise the Lord for that. So as we said, this unforgiveness brings some dire situations here that's possible that you and I could find ourselves in that it's a roadblock even maybe to spending eternity in heaven with Christ. And so we started out by letting you know that, number one, this unforgiveness can hurt you as much or more than it can even the person that you're bitter against. And the writer of Hebrews states this in chapter 12, verse 15, and this is super important. I want you to listen to me this morning. When he says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many." That means if you've got a root of bitterness on the inside of you, if you've got unforgiveness on the inside of you, and you don't deal with that, and you allow that to grow, it's not only going to eat you up, but the Bible says it's going to defile many. Have you ever thought about a situation where maybe you were happy and excited, thankful over maybe something the Lord had done, or something went your way and something broke for you this way or that way, and you're really excited and happy, and you carry that around with you? You know how hard that is to really transfer on other people other than those that are closest to you and love you the most. Most everyone else sort of hears that and can see that on you, but they take it in stride and they go on because nothing really as positive has happened to them out of your situation. They're not mad, but at the same time, they don't grab your excitement the way that you have that excitement, because it doesn't directly affect them. Joy, excitement, things of that nature is very hard to relay from one person to the next, because I believe that it's not within our flesh and in our humanity to sort of receive that kind of thing quickly. And yet, if you've got a root of bitterness, if you've got unforgiveness, if you're upset about something, have you ever noticed how quickly people will jump on that train with you? Like, I see it, you know, I used to see it at work all the time. And I'm not saying there's not times to complain at all, but I can remember times when I worked at a certain place, and man, I'd go in, I'd be feeling all right. Had a good church service, the whole nine yards, you know. Everything would be good, and then somebody come up to me and start talking about, you know, they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and, you know, they didn't do this, and they didn't do that. And before you know it, you're going, man, that ain't right. Then you start talking about it. And about 5 minutes into the conversation now, the attitude, the joy, and everything that you had is now gone, because now you are mad. Whether you got a right to be or not, you're mad because they're mad. And it's like that just spreads really quickly. Like anger and bitterness, man, you can spread that like wildfire. It almost makes me feel like we walk around looking for something to get mad at. And when you got that angerness and that bitterness and that unforgiveness, that spreads like wildfire. That's the reason the book of Hebrews says it'll defile many. So it's just not you that's going to be hampered by this thing. And a lot of times, especially your family, it spreads throughout, and everybody in your family sort of becomes bitter, maybe at a thing or at another individual or what have you. And a lot of times that stuff just being bitter day after day after day breeds, if you will, into your family. And so your family ends up becoming a bitter family. And it took me a long time, and I'm going to get real personal with you here. Took me a long time to realize that. I wish I'd have realized that when my children were younger. But you're still learning and growing yourself. But I was thinking about that this past week, thinking about this message, and I thought, I'm glad, and I mean this sincerely, I'm glad that my children were raised with a sweet enough, if you will, individual in their life, like their mother, to try to overcome some of the bitterness that I had. And I mean that with all my heart, because I was raised in bitterness, and you don't know how much you realize that that affects the family that you're trying to raise and those people that are around you. If you're always bitter, if you're always upset, those individuals that you are the closest and you have the most relationship with, the closest relationship, they begin to become bitter themselves. You know what I'm talking about. There's some families that you know of, they're just mean. Am I right? Like, you can say, well, that's so-and-so. Oh, yeah, he's from this bunch. He's mad all the time. Or, you know, you'll hear them talk and they're hateful, and you Everybody will chalk it up to, yeah, they're just so out of so-and-so. That's the way they talk. That ain't right. I don't care what your last name is. It doesn't mean that that's okay. It doesn't mean that's right. That means a root of bitterness has grown up in somebody in years gone by, and now that root has grown up and the fruit is being passed around. Now everybody that's around them has become bitter, and they defiled many because they couldn't deal with unforgiveness, bitterness, being spiteful. Are y'all with me? It's like it broods in a nest, if you will. And everybody that you touch sort of becomes susceptible to this bitterness that you have. You pass it on to others so easily. But the Bible tells us and makes note that Scripture says that love keeps no record of the wrong. It's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love doesn't really keep a record of the wrong that's been done to it. It forgives, forgets, and moves on, and all these other things. But I would tell you something, bitterness really starts taking note of everything, and what happens is you become bitter in one place and you become bitter in so many other areas of your life that it affects not only you, but as we said, others. It's like a cancer to your soul. So why should we forgive? Why is this important? Number one, probably not the most important, but number one that I would want to mention is it hurts you and I. It's been said that unforgiveness is sort of like drinking rat poison and hoping it kills somebody else. I mean, think about that. I used to do that one time sort of to illustrate stuff at church. I was trying to sort of educate people along the way, I guess. Like if I come through and somebody didn't shake my hand or whatever, I'd sort of say, well, you didn't shake my hand. I'm going to show you. I'm going to quit coming to church. I'm going to backslide and go to hell. I'm going to show you. And they go, huh? I'd say, I'm going to get back at you for not shaking my hand. I'm going to get mad and backslide, quit coming to church, and go to hell. And they said, what? How's that getting back at me? I said, that's exactly right. It's not hurting you at all. It's hurting me. I'm drinking the poison hoping it gets somebody else. Doesn't make any sense to me, and yet the flesh causes us to want to do that very thing. So unforgiveness is going to destroy us more than it is whoever we have that root of bitterness against. And second, but certainly not least at all, we sort of mentioned this in the beginning, if I need forgiveness, I better give forgiveness. And this is hard for me because this is one of the hard lines that's drawn in the Scripture where there's not much interpretation needed or can be said. There's no commentary. There's no angle that you can look at it and go, well, did he really mean that? He said this, if you don't forgive people, my Father will not forgive you. You want to know the Greek there of if? It's if. In other words, it's contingent. There's no secret meaning. There's no, let's interpret it this way and maybe soften it up a little bit. Jesus said this, if you've got unforgiveness, God isn't going to forgive you, period. That's dangerous. That's scary. That's the biggest Red Rover line that we got because it can keep us from Jesus and keep us out of heaven. And it's so interesting to me that in our own lives, we'll stand and we will thank God for His mercy and grace when they sing, when the youth comes and leads us in worship, and we talk about the grace and the mercy of God. We'll receive that. And how many of you are so thankful for nothing else other than just the grace and the mercy of God? Can I see your hand? Don't be bashful here. Are you thankful for the grace of God that redeemed you and brought you back from wherever you are, picked you up, and now you've got a place in heaven? We're so quick to think about that, and yet so staunch on not forgiving others for what they've done against us. You know the parable where the ruler forgives the one of all his debt, and what's he do? He goes and he demands the others
their debt be paid. Right? Jesus taught that to illustrate God has forgiven. Let me say it this way. I don't care what that person done to you or whatever. God has forgiven you for a whole lot more than you'll ever have to forgive somebody else of. So unforgiveness and bitterness. And I'm going to tell you, it's not always easy. It is not always easy. How do you forgive somebody who sort of ripped your heart out? And listen, there can be tons of things. And I listed some of them there. Somebody may have taken advantage of you in some way, or maybe even betrayed your innocence in some way. Maybe you've had somebody, that a spouse or something, that's cheated on you, or a parent that's abandoned you. I mean, there's a lot of deep issues that the church doesn't always want to talk about that can be there, that can sort of paint that Red Rover line in front of us and say, that's unforgiveness in your heart, and it's hard to get over those things. But I'm going to tell you, you would ask the question, how in the world can I forgive them? And it's by this, through the grace and the mercy of Jesus, that forgives you. When he was hanging on a cross after all that they'd done to him, and he said, Father, forgive them. That's the same grace. That's the same mercy that you and I. Who's been hurt in here? Has anybody been hurt in here? Don't be bashful. Been upset, been picked on, been aggravated, whatever. Jesus speaks about this in Mark chapter 11 when he says, whenever you're standing praying, forgive if you have anything against you, so that your Father who's in heaven will forgive your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your transgressions. Sometimes it's hard. You say, you don't know what I've been through. You're absolutely right. I don't know. This is one thing, really. I guess I'm a bitter person in general. Jesus helps me with that. I don't know why. I think this is good for the soul, confession sometimes. Doesn't mean you're lost, just means you're trying. I think Cheryl told me one time, she said, I never will forget when first time I heard you get up and talk about how, you know, you were challenged with things and how you deal with some of the same things I do. She said, it's the first time I'd ever heard a minister get up and do that. And she said, it made me feel so much better to know that he is going through some of the same stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I probably go through it more than any of you. You all know how I am. I don't hide anything. How many of you sometimes just feel like I need to break the tension in here? How many of you wake up sometimes just mad? You know what I'm talking about. If you've never done that, God bless you. You may not have a problem. But I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes I just wake up mad. Kelly go, what's wrong with you? I go, I don't know. I'm just ticked off. Woke up ticked off at the world. Don't know why. But it keeps me on my toes. Because I don't want that bitterness constantly in my heart. But we all struggle with bitterness, unforgiveness. We don't know what each other has been through. I can tell you that. You're right. I don't know what you've been through. I just want to acknowledge that. When I'm saying this and you go, man, you don't know somebody done this or somebody done that. I do not know. But I'm going to tell you somebody who does. God. Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. You know what that tells me? He had time after time after time to get hurt, to allow bitterness to spring up in his heart, but he didn't. He invested over 3 years in a group of guys, and when it came time for them to just stay awake and pray with him, every one of them fell asleep. And even on top of that, when it came that he needed them in his greatest hour, they all left and said, I don't even know him. Somebody'd say, I've been deserted. Jesus knows. I lost a loved one. Jesus knows. That's why he had that separation from God whenever he died, because he wanted you to understand that you're not going to face anything in this world that he hasn't faced. And through him, instead of getting better, as the old cliche says, you can get better. Instead of getting bitter, you can get better, because God will use those things to transform you into the image of his son. Think about what would happen if we all done just that very thing. If we were all able to forgive and just move on. And while I am naturally, I think, a bitter person, and I wake up, it's not toward any one person. It's just life in general. I can honestly say that me personally, I don't hold grudges. Like, it doesn't bother me. I just let it roll on my back. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm hard-hearted or something. I don't know. Like, you, it is so hard to offend me. Like, I just, it don't matter to me what you think about me or what you do or whatever. I don't hold grudges because that's just the way I'm built. I don't know why that is. I wish everybody was like that, but the truth of the matter is, I'm not telling you I'm up here. I done told you I struggle with being bitter for no reason. But the fact of the matter is, if we would all attain and sort of search out trying to overcome that bitterness of something that happened, it may be a situation. Sometimes it's not even a person. Sometimes it's a situation. But more times than not, it's a person. And the book of Galatians tells us this. If a man be overtaken in a fault, so that tells me that the other person's guilty. A lot of times they're not guilty. But in this case, he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. See, he separated some people there. He said, if you're spiritual, you'll restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. He's saying this, if you're really spiritually mature and somebody's overtaken in a fault, you're going to restore them with meekness. You're going to be able to do that because Christ is dwelling on the inside of you. And verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so you fulfill the law of Christ. And I don't want to get too deep theological here on the law of Christ, but many people think that that's just what Jesus taught. But it's so much more than that. It's his attitude. It's who he was. You and I forgive not because we bring ourselves to a place where we can forgive. We forgive because that's what God has done for us. Let me paint you this picture. I'm going to close in just a minute. But let me paint you this picture. We live in a world where the world says everybody should bear their own load. But the Bible tells us we're to bear one another's burdens. If you see somebody overtaken in a fault, forgive them, restore them spiritually, be mature about it. And we get presented with these opportunities from day to day to day, and what we got to do is make up in our mind that we're going to approach it the same way that God does. So let me give you a scenario. How many of you have ever prayed to God for forgiveness about something? I mean, even beyond forgive me when you got saved. Like, you do something you shouldn't have done, and you pray, God, forgive me. And if you do that in earnest, if you do that by faith, how many of you get up from that feeling brand new, like God has forgiven you and all is well? What if when you got down there to pray and asked God to forgive you, he went, I'm not at that point yet. You know what I'm talking about? Like, when you talk about forgiveness, people go, I'll forgive you, but I'm not ready there. I'm not ready yet. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's going to take me a while. I'll eventually forgive you, but it's going to take me a while. I just need to be mad for a little while. Let me tell you something. That ain't scripture. How'd you feel about if God said, well, what you done there? I think I'm going to have to think on it. I'll probably forgive you tomorrow. But right now, I just ain't ready to forgive you. God forgives you because that's who he is. And if you are born again and have his spirit on the inside of you, when somebody says, forgive me, you are going to forgive them. You're not going to go, well, let me think about it. I need to work on it. I'm not ready for that yet. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's just the decision that you make. As a matter of fact, a lot of us sit around waiting on us to feel like we should forgive somebody. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to wait and wait and wait. And you know what I was taught when I was younger? Wait is what broke the wagon down. You're not going to get anywhere because you're going to wait and wait and wait. And you're waiting on a feeling to do something when the fact of the matter is, it often takes an action to get you to the place to where you can really move on. I would say this, some people sit around waiting to forgive till they're ready so they can move on, when the fact of the matter is God's made a way for them to move on, but they first have to forgive and then they move on. Y'all with me? Because God has done what he's done up front and he has forgiven you. But a lot of times we like to hold on to things and we forget that Jesus said to forgive them for they don't know what they've done. Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 5. You've heard it said, love your neighbor. But I tell you to love your enemies and to pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you. Man, pray for your enemies. What a idea that Jesus gives us. And I always throw this in when we talk about this, because I think sometimes people read that verse of scripture and it sort of shows their heart too, I think, when they interpret it this way. In the Bible, when it says, pray for them that, and you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. Y'all remember that? That's a verse that a lot of hateful people like to use as motivation to pray for whoever they got an ought against, because God's going to heap coals of fire upon their head. Does that even make sense? I'm bitter against this person, and the Bible says to pray for him, and I'm going to pray for him, but my motivation is so God will bring vengeance on him. Totally opposite of what God really tells us to do in the heart it tells us to have. And if you look back around that time, the manner and custom was when somebody got ready to travel during a cold season and they wore those turbans on their head or whatever, you would usually give them a couple of coals or whatever that would not burn or catch on fire, but they were sort of simmering and warm, and they'd put that and they'd wrap it up in their head to keep them warm as they traveled. So it's this. God is saying, pray for that person, not so that I can bring vengeance upon them, but because you can keep their heart warm while I work on them to bring them to the place that they need to be. Because at the end of the day, no matter where the fault's at or whatever, that person's soul is the most important thing to God. And bitterness, envy, strife, unforgiveness is such a roadblock. It's such a big giant bully over across from us, daring us to bust through to get to where God would want us to be, and here, more importantly, even where God is, and that is in heaven. So I wonder if you'd stand with me to your feet this morning. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. You forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's not a suggestion. Listen, in self-help talk, they would say you need to forgive somebody because it's eating you up worse than it is them. But in Scripture, it simply says this, bear with one another. Be patient with one another. Ted was talking about it one time during something. He said, I think it's VBS this past week. He said, I always try to think, well, maybe that person's having a bad day. You don't know what their parents are going through. Maybe they're taking care of somebody. Try to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. You don't know what they're going through. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances. I love the shirts that they're wearing this morning, the youth and young adults, I am a whosoever. Well, I would tell you this, no matter who it is or what it is, in this situation, it's a whatever. Whatever it is. He didn't say you got to forgive for some things, but now some of these, I'd probably not forgive him neither. He said, whatever grievances, whatever it is, you forgive them because God forgive you. You don't do it because you feel like it. You don't do it because you pray about it and get to the point to where you can. Bible simply says you forgive because God forgives you. Period. No ifs, ands, buts. If God forgive you, you are to forgive others. And listen, somebody comes at you with forgiveness and you didn't do a thing, you know what you do? You be humble and receive that forgiveness. Whether you done anything or not. Because I'm going to tell you, there may be somebody come to you and go, you know what? I forgive you for this. And they tell you about it and you're going, I had no idea. I didn't even realize I'd done that. So you don't get in an argument going, well, I didn't do anything to you. That's not the spirit of Christ. That's not the spirit of meekness. You receive that with humility and grace and accept that forgiveness because to them, their perception was reality. It's not a matter of who's right. It's a matter of what's right. And in a situation where unforgiveness is, what is right is for you to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And listen, I've done this long enough to know that there ain't no sense in saying if you got problems with unforgiveness, come to the front of this church. I'm not that naive. Ain't nobody going to step out and go, you know what, I got a problem with that. I'll admit to you that I do. Bitterness. Sometimes I said I wake up fighting mad. God's helping me so much of that. Can I share one quick testimony, witness with you? It wasn't toward me, it was toward another family member, but I had an ought against somebody so bad for years. Thank God I'm past it now. But for years, I would dream of wearing this individual's head out. I mean, I ain't kidding you. Like, I ain't saying that for you to go, ooh, or whatever. I'm telling you, I would wake up, clench fist. I could almost feel my fist thumping. I had it clenched so hard during my dream because I was wearing somebody out. Not because of what they'd done to me, but because of what they'd done to somebody I love. That's not good. I'll admit that. We all have those situations that drive us into bitterness and unforgiveness. But I'm here to tell you, when you realize that it's just a choice and you got to forgive because God forgive you, it's so much easier to say, I forgive and move on. We talk about walking in freedom in Christ and in power and in authority. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times it's not to do with anything with the enemy. It's more to do with us because we can't lay down those things like that. I wonder if everybody would just bow your heads just for a moment. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, for this time together. Not an easy subject at all. So thankful for the scripture that does not cloud anything, doesn't make any, leave anything to interpretation to mean, well, he could have meant this, he could have meant that. It's that dire of a situation. It's that important that we forgive others as you have forgiven us, that you made it as plain as you can make it in Scripture and say, if you do not forgive others, God's not going to forgive you. And Father, it's our prayer that we would receive that, that we wouldn't let that offense, that thing that we're holding against somebody or that situation, that circumstance, allow that thing or that person to stand in opposition to us to get to where you are. So Father, as we pray, and we sincerely pray right now that you would just give us all a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of meekness, a spirit that allows us to just swap shoes with the other person just for a moment and maybe see where they're at. God, we're so thankful. I'm grateful for your forgiveness because you said, as far as the east is from the west, you cast our sins to never be remembered anymore. You totally and completely forgive us, and your mercies are renewed every day. And Father, we pray for that same mercy to be shown in our lives to others as you show to us. God, we thank you and praise you. I wonder if you've been